Turn together God's word from Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 39. This is the story of Jesus in the Mount of Olives. Brothers and sisters, as I read, I remind you that these are the words of God himself, so listen accordingly. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed most earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Thus far God's word. Please be seated. Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we consider the struggles of the Lord Jesus Christ as he faced death, that we might find that in them a comfort and an encouragement for ourselves as we face the difficulties of life which we experience daily. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, what is it that you fear the most? What is your greatest fear? Well, different people answer this question in different ways, particularly at different times in life. For example, if you're a child, your greatest fear might be perhaps getting bad grades in school, or maybe disappointing your parents, or not being accepted by your friends. These kinds of things can trouble us when we're children. But as we get a little bit older, we begin to have other kinds of things that bother us. For example, young people might begin to worry about not being able to find a job, or perhaps struggle with what their calling in life is. What kind of a job has God gifted me to do? We might be afraid of not knowing what it is we are to do. Or perhaps we have a fear of rejection of another young person that we begin to fall in love with. The fear of, am I finding the right person to spend my life with as a spouse? But as we grow older, it yet changes more. Fathers, what do you fear? You fear losing your job? You fear not being able to provide for your family? Or if you're a mother, you look at your children, maybe your fears will have to do with them. Maybe you're afraid that something will happen to your children physically, or that they'll become ill. Someone will harm them. Some accident will befall them. Or perhaps worst of all, maybe you fear that they might leave the faith. Older people, what do you fear? Your bodies begin to fail. Things begin to break down. You see others suffering with the ravages of cancer or Alzheimer's. Do you fear that your own body will begin to succumb to these kinds of things? All of these fears present us with a temptation to despair, a temptation to not trust that God is able to bring us safely through these kinds of trials and difficulties. But there's something that lies at back of all of these fears. And what lies at back of all of these fears is our fear of death. We all have a fear of death. These other fears are all symptoms. They're all symptoms of death and of the brokenness that comes from the curse and death in this world and in our lives. And all of this ultimately leads to death. Death for our loved ones. Death for ourselves. Do you fear death? Well, with this fear of death that you have comes also a fear, a temptation to succumb to that fear. And in this passage, Jesus faces that exact same fear of death that you face daily in different ways. And as he goes through this fear of death, He shows us how to overcome it and how to overcome the temptation to succumb to that fear. And he does so through prayer. We'll look at how Jesus overcomes the temptation to death, to fear death, through prayer. We'll look first at how Jesus is tempted, and then secondly at how he overcomes that temptation through prayer. Well, Jesus began his earthly ministry knowing that it would eventually end in his own death. You see this very clearly in the Gospel of Luke. At Jesus' birth, when his parents present him in the temple, the old man Simeon comes up to Jesus' mother, to Mary, and tells her that she would experience great sorrow. He's referencing the death of her own son. Later in the Gospel, Jesus tells his own disciples that he would one day face death. Chapter 9, verse 22, he says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." This theme of Jesus' death continues to build through the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 12, verse 50, we read, Jesus says, "I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." Here we see Jesus reflecting subjectively in himself on the death that he has to undergo. We see his emotional turmoil and anguish begin to build as he reflects on it. "I have a baptism to undergo, and I am distressed until it is accomplished." As Luke continues to write his gospel, he continues to build this suspense about Jesus and his death. Finally, we reach the time right before Jesus comes to our story today, right before he comes up to the Mount of Olives. We come to the story of the Last Supper. Here, Jesus institutes what we call the Lord's Supper, which is itself a picture of his death. He says at that Last Supper, after instituting the Lord's Supper, he says about himself, "For indeed the Son of Man is going as it has been determined." In other words, to his death. "But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Jesus senses, he knows that his death is right before him. It has been determined that he must die. We sense that Jesus is more and more having to face the horror of the death on the cross. And this has been building as he gets closer and closer to that event. And so it is that when we come to our story today, we are on the very eve of Jesus' death on the cross. You see, Jesus is now staring death straight in the eyes. Tomorrow, he knows that he will hang on that cross. And he will hang on that cross for hours and hours of agony. You can sense as Jesus prays here on the Mount of Olives in the garden, you can sense that he already feels the weight of his body pulling down on the nails on the cross. He anticipates the painful last attempts at breathing while hanging for hours on that cross. He knows exactly how awful this is going to be. But there's more. There's more than just a physical, painful death that he will experience. Jesus also anticipates the horror of experiencing the eternal wrath of God as he hangs on the cross. Not just death. Jesus knows that he is going to bear infinite punishment. All of hell is going to be poured out on Jesus on the cross. He knows, he anticipates what is going to come. He knows that the Father will turn his back on him, that he will forsake him. This torments Jesus. And it is at this torment that serves as a final temptation for Jesus. It is a temptation for Jesus to not trust his heavenly Father. You can imagine what Jesus is thinking here. Will God save me? Will He save me even from death? Will God raise me from the dead? After all, it's my Father who's putting me on the cross. It's my Father who's pouring out His wrath on me and sending me to the tomb. Will He who turned His back on me turn once more and look upon me and raise me from the dead? Will He save me from what He has subjected me to? Can God do this? You see, Jesus, the man, has to face death and death at the hands of His Father. Will He do it? The temptation here for Jesus is a temptation to run away. A temptation for Himself to turn His back on the Father. For Him to turn away from the sufferings of the cross. To turn away from the wrath of God and to run. This is the temptation that Jesus faces. The temptation to succumb to the fear of death. How do we know that this is a temptation? Is this just the preacher being dramatic? There's several reasons we can point to. First of all, here in the structure of the passage itself, there's a frame, a bracket, that brackets the section that proves to us that this is a temptation which Jesus faces. When He enters the Mount of Olives, the garden, He tells the disciples, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And then as He leaves, He once more tells the disciples in verse 46, "Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." That's why He's come here, is to pray that He may not enter into temptation. And so He instructs the disciples likewise to pray that they may not enter into temptation. So the literary structure of the passage tells us this. There's also a parallel in the Gospel of Luke. You may remember at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, before He begins preaching, Jesus Himself has to first face a temptation. So even as Jesus' ministry begins with a temptation, as He goes out into the desert and is tempted by the devil, here His ministry ends with a temptation. There's a parallel in the Gospel of Luke here, literally. Finally, we can point to the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus faced temptation in the things in which He suffered. 2 verse 17. "Therefore He had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of His people." He's talking about His death there. His work of making propitiation for the sins of the people. "For since He Himself was tempted in that which He suffered," His death, "He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." The writer of Hebrews is reflecting back on this gospel account of how Jesus faced temptation as a part of His suffering. And he confirms for us what Luke makes clear, that what Jesus is facing here is a temptation to avoid death. Finally, we also have a foil, a narrative foil in the disciples themselves. They act as a contrast to Jesus. But unlike Jesus, who succeeds in overcoming temptation, the disciples fail. They fall in the face of temptation. They succumb to sorrow. They're overcome by sorrow, we're told in verse 45. Jesus found the disciples overcome and sleeping from sorrow. And then later we'll see that the disciples continue to succumb to that temptation and they turn their backs on Jesus and flee Him. They scatter and they run away. So it's very clear here that what Jesus Himself is facing is a temptation to avoid death. We too are prone. We are prone to succumb to our fears. We are prone to stop looking to God in the midst of our temptation, in the midst of facing death and struggles. This is our weakness, just like the disciples here. We are tempted to stop trusting God, to turn not to God, but to the things of this world to overcome our troubles and our trials. But you see, Jesus knows what we are going through. He's been there. He's faced death too. And Jesus invites us to something better than the things of this world, something better than grief and sorrow and not trusting God. He leads us to something better. He leads us through the fear, the same fear he faced, and past temptation. And he leads us through that, through prayer. This is the second thing we'll look at this morning. How Jesus leads us through the fear of death and the temptation that comes with it, through prayer. Two times in this passage, Jesus tells the disciples that they are to pray in order to overcome temptation. This is a command. It's something they must do. Once again, we can consider this theme of prayer in the Gospel of Luke. Throughout Jesus' ministry in Luke, Jesus has frequently prayed. Over and over again, Luke points out the fact that Jesus is praying. He begins his prayer at the time of his baptism. We're told that when Jesus came up out of the water, he was praying. Furthermore, throughout Jesus' ministry, over and over again, Luke tells us of how Jesus slipped away to various places, deserted places, so that he would have time to pray. We don't know exactly what Jesus was saying during those times of prayer, but we do know that when he taught the disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer, they came to him and said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." He taught them, "Lead us not into temptation." This is an important part of his prayer, that we not be led into temptation. Well, as his ministry progresses, as his fear of death becomes more and more real to him, as it comes closer and closer to it, we see that Jesus' prayer also intensifies. Even as he's closer to his death, as the agony of death presses upon him, he turns more and more to prayer. We see this particularly in his final week before the cross. This week where Jesus is preparing to face the cross, here he spends every night in prayer on the Mount of Olives. We read in Luke 21, verse 37, "Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet." Every day Jesus spent the day teaching, but at night he would spend the entire night in prayer on the Mount of Olives. What is Jesus doing there? Why is he spending every night praying? What is he saying? In this passage here that we've read this morning, that we're looking at, we get a picture of exactly what Jesus is doing and what he is saying. In verse 42, we read the exact words that Jesus is praying. He says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." What's he praying about? He's praying about his death. This cup is the cup of God's wrath that he must drink to the dregs. This cup of God's wrath is his death on the cross. This is the eternal wrath of God that he is going to experience, that he is facing. You see, he's in his prayer, he is dealing with his fear of death. And in his prayer, he is expressing his complete trust in the Father and in the Father's ability to care for him, even in death. In this act of prayer, Jesus lays out all of his fears to the Father. Jesus is distressed by his death. And in his agony, he brings his fears to the Father, trusting that God will take care of him, even in death. You see, rather than falling to the temptation, rather than succumbing in sorrow like the disciples do, Jesus directs his fear to God, the only one who can save him, the only one who can care for him, the only one who can bring him through death. You see, here is Jesus' comfort and his hope in life and in death. It's in the Heavenly Father. And so he submits to the Father's will and trusts in him. Go back to that command that Jesus made twice in this passage. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And then again in 46, get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Why does Jesus tell the disciples to pray? You see, Jesus is inviting the disciples to join him in prayer. Jesus himself is praying, and so he commands the disciples to now come and join him in prayer. Jesus identifies with his disciples. See, we see that they too are struggling with the fear of death, the fear of what Jesus is going to suffer. Verse 45, Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. They too are overcome by fear of death. They too have a serious sense of what Jesus is about to experience and what they themselves, as followers of Jesus, might experience. They're overcome by it. And so, on this last night, Jesus brings the disciples with him to his place of refuge, to his prayer. And he commands them to join him in prayer, in committing themselves to God in trust. And when Jesus does this, he identifies with their fears. Just like them, he fears death. But he has a way through and a way out. And he invites us in this too. He knows our fears. He knows our weakness. He knows what it's like to face death. Have you thought about that? That Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. Exactly your difficulties. Even when you come to face death. You're facing cancer. You're facing Alzheimer's, your mind going away. You're facing losing your job. All of these things. Jesus has been there. He knows it. And he knows the ultimate fear. He has faced it. He's gone through it. And he's come out the other side. We turn again to Hebrews and what the writer says about Jesus there. The Hebrews, the writer is again reflecting on what Jesus goes through. And he says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. You see, Jesus, when he faced his death, he committed himself to the one who could save him from the dead. And Jesus is calling us to join him in prayer. He's calling us, like him, to cast our cares and our fears all on the Father. See, Jesus has already passed through death and been raised up by the Father. This work of his that he's accomplished is the basis of our salvation. And what is Jesus doing now? He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. He's praying for you. And he's praying for you on the basis of that death and resurrection which he has already undergone. You see, Jesus is inviting you to join him, not just in terms of his prayer there in the garden, but his prayers now. He's praying for you and he calls you to pray with him for yourselves. Do you fear, brothers and sisters? Look to Jesus. He's praying for you. He's praying with you. Join your voice with his, trusting that the Father can raise you too, even from the dead. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for our Lord Jesus. We thank you for his trust in you. That even though as a man he was capable of dying, as a man he did die, yet you raised him from the dead. And through all of this, though he feared, even as we as men and women, as we human beings and creatures fear, yet he trusted in you. And you did not let him down. Lord, we thank you that we too can trust in you and come to you in prayer, and that you will not let us down. In Jesus' name we pray.